Happy Sabbath, everybody, both here and online. Welcome to services here in Northern Virginia. It's kind of a hard act to follow that song service, though, with the whole band here. Pretty awesome. It's becoming more and more regular, so pretty awesome. Well, today I'm going to read through one of the shortest books of the Bible. The book of Philemon. It's easy to read this epistle, or it's really just a letter written by Paul, real quickly and move on to the next thing, which is Hebrews, and just kind of skip over what it means and what value it has for us as Christians. It's not a doctrinal epistle at all. It's simply Paul dealing with a situation that has arisen, and he's writing this letter to Philemon. And there's a lot of good Christian living principles that we can derive from this short little letter. So the major themes of Philemon are slavery and restitution. And the main characters are Paul, Philemon, and a guy named Onesimus. And Onesimus is Philemon's runaway slave. And while Onesimus was running away, he came in contact with Paul. And he became useful to Paul in preaching the gospel. And at some point, Paul had ministered to Philemon. So in all likelihood, Paul had met Onesimus prior to him running away. We don't know that for sure, but it would be a huge coincidence that Paul would have come into contact with that Onesimus any other way. But being a runaway slave was a major crime in Rome. It was a crime that was punishable by death. So what Paul's letter was doing, it was really dealing with a delicate matter. And Paul wants to rectify this situation, and he sends Onesimus back to Philemon, and he sends him back with this letter. So there are five main sections to this letter. There's a greeting. There is an encouragement of Philemon's faith. There is a plea for Onesimus. There is an encouragement that Philemon will make the right decision. And then there is a farewell. So let's turn to Philemon 1, and start reading. Philemon 1, it's just one chapter, so it's just verses that we'll be referencing. Philemon 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our brother, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. To the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this introduction, this greeting, we learn a lot about this letter. First, we learn that Paul is the author. And he is in prison. He's called a prisoner of Christ Jesus. So he was in prison when he wrote this letter. And Timothy is mentioned in the opening, and that's probably because Timothy was actually writing down the letter. Paul was dictating it, and Timothy was writing it down. Apphia, like Philemon, is only ever mentioned in this book of the Bible. It's probably Philemon's wife. Philemon's house was where the congregation met for church. So Philemon was likely a leader in this congregation. But we're not given specifically in these verses which congregation it is. But we are given a clue by some of the names that are referenced. And Archippus is a major clue as to which congregation this was. And based on another epistle, we learn that Archippus is actually the minister of this congregation. So before moving on to the body of Philemon, let's read the farewell in verse 23. This functions a lot like the greeting. It gives us context of this epistle. Philemon 23, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So like the greeting, we get a lot of names here, lots of different people. Archippus, Epaphras, and Onesimus, who we haven't heard about yet, but we hear about him in the body of the letter, are only mentioned in one other book, and that's the book of Colossians. And Mark, Demas, and Luke are also mentioned in the farewell in the epistle to the Colossians. So these similarities indicate a few different things about Philemon and Colossians. These were separate letters, but they're probably written at the exact same time. They're probably sent at the exact same time, and they're probably delivered at the exact same time. Colossians was to the larger audience of the congregation in Colossae, whereas Philemon was written specifically to Philemon, dealing with this particular situation that Paul is addressing here in Philemon. And Colossians indicates that Tychicus delivered the epistle to the Colossians, but he delivered it with Onesimus. So those were the two traveling people that brought these epistles. We don't know who actually handed the letter off to Philemon, but it was likely Tychicus or Onesimus. So let's continue reading the body in verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. This is giving a lot of positive and encouraging words about Philemon. One might think that Paul's buttering up Philemon for what was to come later in the letter. And maybe that's possible, but this is genuine encouragement to Philemon. Philemon was in his prayers. Paul had heard reports of Philemon's love and faith. News of Philemon brought joy to Paul and those with him. There is no reason to doubt the truthfulness of these statements. So let's move on to verse 8. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for your love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So this is kind of the main section of Philemon, and it deals with the purpose of why Paul had written this letter. And Paul starts this section by setting the tone of the message. And he does this by saying, I am not commanding you, Philemon, but I am appealing to you. Onesimus, Philemon's runaway slave, had become very helpful in spreading the gospel. And Paul says that he could be profitable to me and you, because Philemon was also very much involved in spreading the gospel. Paul doesn't tell Philemon exactly what he should do with Onesimus, but he tells him that he should receive him as more than a slave, to take him back as a beloved brother. This statement leaves room for lots of flexibility. He could free Onesimus. He could send him back to Paul. He could use him to spread the gospel in some other way. Let's continue reading in verse 17. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention that you owe me, even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. So Paul does something interesting here. He says the words, I will repay, and he actually writes them out with his own hand to emphasize them. Any debts Onesimus had, Paul asked Philemon to put them on his account. Physical debts, these were physical debts, but they probably reminded Philemon of his spiritual debts as well, the debts from sin that we all have. Jesus puts those on his account for us instead of ours. And then Paul does a little guilting of Philemon and declares how much he owes Paul. And then Paul concludes by saying that he is confident of Philemon's obedience, that he will do even more than I say. And this obedience likely goes back to him saying to receive him as more than a slave, as a beloved brother. After this is the farewell, which we already read through. So we've read the whole book of Philemon, and we looked at some of the context. Now, let's pull one lesson from it. There's lots of lessons I think you could derive from it, but there's one that really stuck out at me when I read through this latest time. And that lesson is the wisdom of persuading instead of commanding. The wisdom of persuading instead of commanding. Paul's persuasion was forceful, but it was not aggressive. He framed his message to be flexible, but it was not a command, and he pointed that out very clearly in his letter. There's wisdom in Paul's approach. He could have played the authority card, but he chose not to. It would have not been as effective, and it could have damaged the relationship between Paul and Philemon. Philemon was a mature Christian. Onesimus was his slave. It was his decision to make, and it was not Paul's. But this did not stop Paul from guiding Philemon in this decision, telling Philemon a little bit about what a right choice might look like. Paul did not give an ultimatum. It can be tempting to give people an ultimatum when you feel strongly about something like this. I see this a lot with my kids. If you don't do this, I won't be your friend anymore. Especially hear that from the youngest. As your kids get older, the ultimatums may become more sophisticated. was playing Settlers of Catan this week, and I heard quite a few ultimatums in that game. There was, in this particular game, there was an abundance of wheat. One person was often handing out free wheat because he had so much wheat. Didn't want the robber to get him. But free wheat had strings attached. If you do that to me, I'm not giving you any more free wheat. The other player also had their own ultimatums. If you don't trade with me, our alliance is over. It's funny that these ultimatums never really resulted in the other person actually doing what they wanted. Bossing people around, giving ultimatums, is generally ineffective. It leads the other person to do just the opposite of what you want. Kids are one group that often need to be told what to do. But as kids grow, they're becoming their own person. And they need flexibility. They need to learn to make their own decisions. We can't force them to do God's way as they grow and mature. But we should guide them. And there's no shame in persuading them, like Paul, to make sure they know what the right choice looks like. We should be steadily transitioning from the commanding to the persuading as our children grow. People in positions of authority can learn from Paul's example here. Whether you're a minister, a boss, even a husband and wife. Ordering people creates resentment. It destroys relationships. And it often achieves the exact opposite of the desired result. Good communication is critical, though. Persuading instead of commanding does a few positive things. It offers your opinion on what the right choice is. It tells the other person that their input matters too, and it gives them flexibility to make their own choices. We all need to make our own choices. Philemon is short. It's an epistle that's easy to read and then move on, but there's a lot of content in this little book. There's a certain human element to it. You get a feel for all the people that are surrounding Paul when he was writing this, and the situations that those people were dealing with. You can see the interconnections between Colossians as you read through it. And we don't ever get exactly what the result of this letter was, how Philemon reacted to it. But the fact that it's preserved for us means it probably was well received by Philemon. And there are several spiritual lessons we can take from it. And one of those being the wisdom of persuading instead of commanding.